Thank you for coming. This is the link online for Excel tenants, for a very large tenant discussion. We'll probably talk about link online at large because there's not that many link online sessions, surprisingly, at the link conference. And Ramesh and I will tell you a little bit about link online, and we'll tell you about link online for Excel tenants. We'll introduce ourselves very briefly, and then I'll ask you to do some work and raise your hand a few times to see a little bit more about who you are and what you want to get out of this. My name is François Dorémieux. I'm part of a team within the product group that is customer facing. And I interface with people like Ramesh, who are actually doing the real stuff, the real engineering. And we kind of bridge the discussion between customers and product engineering and operations.
My name is Ramesh Narayanan. I work in Link Online product team. As Francois mentioned, I'm more close towards the building features that's important for Excel tenants, and also close towards the operation, right? So once they are coming into the system, then how are they doing? Is there anything you need to address that? And of course, for me, I believe my job is easy. He's doing the tough job of dealing with customers.
So first, I'd like a little bit of a show of hands. Who's here because they are planning on implementing Link Online? Okay, we have two hands. That's very good. All of you, we're not going to pay much attention to you, just to two gentlemen. I think we have a few people from Microsoft as well here. Who's from Microsoft? Okay. And you guys are here because you want to know about Link Online, because nobody really knows much about Link Online yet, yeah? That's right. You'll have good surprises. We actually have a lot of good things going on. And if I may ask the two gentlemen who are interested in Link Online, approximately what size companies are we looking at? Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Very good. Yep. Okay. So we're going to get going with an introduction of Link Online and Excel tenants.
Do you want to talk about the objectives?
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah, okay. So what we really would like to get for you to get out of this today is that Link Online is actually for real in terms of its skills and capabilities. It does provide credible alternatives for many of our Link on-premise customers. There are some gaps remaining. We'll be very clear and frank about that as well. But it's for real, in particular when it comes to its scalability and size. And you're going to see some examples. We'll take you through some examples of very, very large deployments. And we'll talk about what makes, sorry, we'll talk about what makes a Link Online deployment successful, in particular a large one. To a large extent, we'll see that it's not very different from what makes a Link on-premise deployment successful. Careful planning, network aspects, training, readiness, and adoption of your end users. There's one specific element around policy instances and what that means that we'll also cover in detail. This session is one of about three or four that are quite interesting. I think if you want to know more about Link Online, I would recommend that you watch them afterwards. There is one happening at exactly the same time on remote PowerShell, which is very much a Link Online Excel tenant tool, because it's really hard to do anything with deploying large tenants without remote PowerShell. There's another one about hybrid.
Yep.
And there is a session after this one about adoption and ROI and how you make your deployment successful and how you prove that it's been successful. So all of those, I would recommend that you get a look afterwards. In terms of what we're going to follow from an agenda point of view, we'll start with a very brief introduction to Link Online, just because not everybody has actually played with it or seen it. And what are its capabilities, and what can you do, and how is it managed at the simplest level? Then we'll talk about what an Excel tenant is. It's a very artificial definition. We've just essentially said, if you're really big as a tenant or substantial, there are reasons why we may want to know more about you, and there's reasons why, even though it's a common shared service and we're not treating customers better than you know, a specific customer better than another. There are reasons why we may want to know that you're a very specific customer in the way you might be implemented on our pools and so on, and in the way we communicate with you. We'll show you some of the statistics around the service, and actually I don't think that's ever been shown publicly, so it's going to be quite interesting. You're going to possibly be pleasantly surprised about how big we are. And then we'll talk about what makes those deployments for XL tenants successful, with some specific zooms into key areas. And then to keep it a little bit fun at the end, we'll just show you, you know, images of a few tenants, a few of our customers that we think are quite representative and striking in terms of what they do and probably best practices in many cases. We have a Q&A at the end, but you shouldn't just wait. You know, if you have things that are on your mind, do feel free to jump in. We might say, you know, we'll touch on that later on. If that's the case, you know, appreciate your understanding. But just don't keep it. You know, let us know if you have any question. And then I have a few goodies here. Our friends at BusyLight have given us three of those. So I guess the best questions we'll get that. And otherwise, you'll get the 400 minutes of free calling on Skype. Good to go? So what's Link Online? Who? Do you want to take us through that one? And you have a laser pointer in there as well.
Yeah. I see. So if you look at Link Online, as you know, like, recently, a couple of days back, we announced about PSD invoice, right? So that's something completely new, right? And the key difference is that with that PSD invoice in, the only key difference between on-prem and online is the enterprise voice capabilities, right? So if you think about online, as long as you're not too much into enterprise voice, really we have a viable offering for you in Link Online. And also, when we think about Link Online, the key thing is that if you're a big customers, typically you don't want to switch over from your on-prem to online in a day, right? You want to do it gradually. So you need to be aware of hybrid mode. There is something like Link Hybrid we support in Link Online now. And there is a session at 3:15 today which talks in details, but we'll talk a little bit about that in this session as well.
So essentially, there are very few differences today in practice between what you can do online and on-prem, apart from the PBX replacement space.
Yeah, that's the key point. Yeah. So Link Online is part of Office 365. So Office 365 has Exchange Online, SharePoint Online. So when you come to Office 365, that's where like you create your tenants, you do your domain management, and you sync your on-prem AD to Office 365. So there are a few things that thing on the left side are managed in Office 365 level itself. Meaning like you do it for once at the Office level and you can leverage that information for not only for Link Online, for Exchange Online, and all other offerings that's available in Office 365. And then if you come to the Link Online side, things that are specific to Link, for example, if there are any user attributes that are specific to Link, those things can be managed in Link Online side. And these are the split of the enumeration of the features that are available here. And the key thing for our discussion today is the remote partial for Link Online and the tenant usage reporting. Typically, if you're big tenants, you want to able to manage a lot of users you have, remote partial is key for you. And also the usage, you should be able to say that, hey, this is the usage, you know, are we getting enough return for our investment? So those are key things for you in Link Online. Again, if you look at the reporting, we will have a demo of with the reports we have, but again, like with the online, we are keep improving on that. So that's the advantage that. We have like at least the second version of our reporting right now, but we are in parallel working on further improvements. And finally, the PSD invoice, that's upcoming.
On the web conferencing on the Link Online versus the on-premises, or is it exactly the same?
The only one that I'm aware of is that we don't support the mode in which you could run conferences larger than 250 users. When you're on-premise, you have a deployment mode in which you can deploy with a dedicated pool and run conferences up to 1,000 users. But I don't, that there is no equivalent way online. Apart from that, I don't have any.
Yeah, but I think like if you really, apart from the enterprise voice, the two things that have been asked for is the PSN voice and large meeting, right? So if you look at the keynote, both of them are coming, right? Even large meeting is coming. So.
Can you speak up? Oh, yeah. So this session is uniquely on Link Online multi-tenant. We probably know the answer, but we may not be the most qualified to give you answers on dedicated. So we won't be covering dedicated here. There was a question in the back end.
Yeah, archiving is now an option.
So archiving is an option. We'll talk a little bit later about how it's run, I think. Yeah. When we talk about PowerShell, we'll talk about that at that time.
But I can quickly answer that. So we started supporting archiving in Link Online. So what we do is like we archive your content in Exchange. So as long as you have Exchange, we support archiving. So that's the key part there.
Okay. So one of the things that's used in Office 365 is an admin portal. That admin portal is shared for all of the Office 365 services that that you have access to. And then each service has its own capabilities within that that it exposes within that portal. It's looking very seamless, but in practice, it comes from different sources. From a point of view of running your Link Online tenant through the admin portal, if it's not an Excel tenant, it's very easy, very feasible. And you know, my own tenant, which we're going to look at, has 25 accounts and actually 15 that have been allocated to my own family. So doesn't go very far, it's very easy for me to use the Link Online or the Office 365 Admin Center and then within that the Link Online Admin Center to administer it. We'll talk later about using remote PowerShell, but right now we're just going to give you a quick look at what an admin portal looks like so you can get a quick sense for it. And some of the things we'll look at it include service settings that you can apply for the service and then you can actually apply to the users, such as presence privacy, you know, can everybody see my presence or only people who are my contacts? Things such as, do I get the notification service on my iPhone? Things like that, yeah? And then there is some reporting that we will talk about a little bit more in detail later. But that reporting really is tenant user, tenant level reporting that shows you how people use your solution and your service and how much usage they have and so on. There are also obviously remote PowerShell capabilities to expose that. But let's just give you a very quick look right now at those capabilities of the Office 365 Admin Center. So when you actually log in, this is what you see. Fortunately today, instantly, it's all green. That's good. You have your health report. So my tenant is in good shape here. It's a real tenant. And clearly, you can manage your capabilities across the different services. In this case, what I do is I go to the service settings and within service settings to link. And of course, there I have a variety of capabilities I can manage, as I mentioned earlier, such as finding a conferencing provider. Today, the way we provide dial-in conferencing in capabilities into Link Online is through an external audio conferencing provider with whom we've contracted. So you actually purchase that separately, but we've arranged for the services to work together. So that's where you would do that, and then you would essentially assign that to the user. Same thing with respect to managing organizational settings such as federation capabilities. If you want to authorize federation, you can do it here, and you can actually do it in different manners. You can actually say, I'm only going to federate with authorized domains or with domains that, you know, with any domain that are not blocked. And you can also add public connectivity with Skype. So that's the kind of thing you can do in the admin center. There's also reports. So those reports are actually exposed as part of all the reports in Office 365 Admin Center, specifically in Link. You're going to find that my tenant is not that used. You know, again, it's just my family tenant, and we don't, hey, pop up, please. Uh-oh, can I get some suspense music? not happening. We'll blame it on connectivity.
Yes.
But you have those reports built in. So this is typically not what...
Yeah,
oh, see. This is typically not what you would use to manage an Excel tenant, but we wanted to give you a quick flavor of what Link Online at large was. And this is the experience of the vast majority of our small tenants on a day-in, day-out. Very easy to manage, very, very simple. And then, of course, all of that and more is exposed through remote PowerShell for the management of your Excel tenant. So that was the demo. So let's move on beyond the Link Online generic introduction we just did to what an Excel tenant is and why should you care? I knew I had a clicker. So what is an Excel tenant? Are you one? Well, we've somewhat arbitrarily set a stage at around 20,000 users, 20,000 link seats for enterprises to categorize them as an Excel tenant. And the reason we've done this is really because in the back, we assign those users to pools, not very differently from what can happen in you know, your on-premise deployment. And pools typically, if you want disaster recovery, will be scaled for about 40,000 users. They could take 80,000 users if there was no room for disaster recovery, but in paired pool mode, you would typically go with 40,000 users. So 20,000 becomes relatively meaningful on our platform, and we want to make sure when a customer comes that of that size comes in, that we are thoughtful about how we allocate them to pools, that we are thoughtful about the operations around that. Even though it's a shared service, we do have the notion when we run it of, well, there are actual customers and they have a significant size, and one customer coming into a pool can actually have a significant impact on the scalability of that pool. So that's one important reason, but there's many other reasons that are actually customer-facing and that are for the purpose of our customer that we're going, customers that we're going to review in a second. We also support a large number of EDU, education customers, on the Link Online service. Those customers typically are a little bit different in their usage pattern. They do use the service quite well, but not quite as intensely typically on average as our enterprise customers, just because of the use cases that are associated with that. So we found that about 100,000 users is the equivalent in their case to the 20,000 users or so that we use for enterprise. So if you are an education customer of about 100,000 seats, we're also going to have that same type of process. We're also going to suggest that you should be treated as an Excel tenant on Link Online. In some cases, we have smaller customers come in and they have interesting requirements or complicated requirements, something relatively new that might require some awareness on our part and some closer relationship with them as they deploy. And we also can consider that tenant, Excel tenant, you know, even at 10,000 seats, for example. This is true regardless of whether you're starting today your journey with 5 users, but you're on your way to deploying 100,000 users. So today you might just have a small trial tenant or a small hybrid tenant that you're taking 5 users from your on-premise deployment, putting them online. We still would want to start that relationship and have you in the online Excel tenant program because we prepare with you the time at which you're going to start migrating more than those 5 users and hopefully at some point have, you know, 50,000 or 100,000 users migrated. And we'd like to know that as early as possible. So it's not necessarily that you have 20,000 users on Link Online. It's 20,000 users preparing or, you know, with the concept of going to Link Online. Want to take us through?
Sure. Yeah. And as Francois mentioned, like, you know, this is some of the snapshot of how many Excel tenants that exist in our system right now. And the right side, we have how many enabled users, meaning like how many users, licensed users, that came from Excel tenant.
And that's in the Excel tenant program. For yeah. people who cannot read, it's close to 50 million users on the right.
Yes, yeah. Basically, what are you saying? Like, the left side, you can see there are around like 1,000 Excel tenants that exist in our system. So when you're thinking about coming to online, there are already like 1,000 tenants who kind of went through the process what we are talking about. And they have been very successful so far. And around like 50 million users that exist in the system from Excel tenant. And the reason why we have big emphasis on Excel tenant is that if you look at our Link Online total user population, Excel tenant brings about around 30% of the users. So essentially, even though like if you look at the percentage of tenants, Excel tenants compared to the total tenants is small, the number, amount of users that they bring is a lot more. So, which means when we think about capacity planning and also figuring out like where they need to be, like which forest they need to be there, which data center needs to be there, all those things needs to be planned ahead of the time. Anything else you want to answer?
Thank you, Noah. Yes, so the only thing I mentioned on this is quite impressive if you think of when we launched Link Online as a service, and actually even when we launched it, its maturity was still relatively fresh. So we've only reoperated in the mode in which we're very comfortable with, including in using the Wave 15 bits, for about a year now.
Yeah, exactly.
And most of this growth that you see here has actually occurred over the past 12 months. 12, 18 months or so. So this is 50 million users on Link Online that are part of Excel tenants, meaning 20,000 users or more in the enterprise, or thereabouts, you know, and about 100,000 users in EDU customers. Very, very significant critical mass in a very short amount of time. Extremely fast growth rate. You can see it here. There's some seasonal aspects. You know, clearly January is not going to be quite as big a jump as, or December or January are not going to be quite a bigger jump as, for example, June or months that are a little bit easier to plan because of vacation aspects. But fast growth rate. And we're quite happy with this. We're actually doing fairly well on the operations side as well. And it's, you know, those customers, clearly one of the reasons they stay with us and they are growing fast like this is because we're delivering on the operations side as well. That's a great question. So this is, I think the way you frame this is right. Almost all of them, or the vast majority of them, are also Exchange Online customers, and that's actually a good thing because of the reliance on Exchange Online that, you know, for things like archiving and for reporting and so on that we'll talk a little bit about later. There are a few exceptions, but typically we see most customers typically start with Exchange Online, but there are some exceptions where people do start with Link Online.
Yeah. And some specific cases we have seen, like customer have a smaller update cycle for Exchange, and they say, hey, we want to see what the offering we have in Office 365, but we are not ready to move our email first. We want to start with Link, right? So like a year back when you asked the question, I was always betting that yes. If somebody was going to come there, I'm going to assume that they already have Exchange Online. But now, based on our experience, we see that there are exceptions to that. Yeah.
So if you qualify to be an online Link Online Excel tenant, why should you care? And why is it of value to you and to us? Based on our track record of working with customers in this program now for about 18 months or close to 2 years almost, we believe that it's a great opportunity to de-risk your deployment by leveraging the best practices that we've sometimes learned the hard way with those early customers. We also, in some cases, can facilitate access to other resources that, you know, such as training and adoption resources, those type of things. From our point of view, one of the key benefits that we really want to derive from this, there's two key benefits. One is that we actually can leverage that relationship to better understand where we still have opportunities to improve the service, and there's quite a few. We have been running surveys of Link Online customers and admins to try and prioritize some of our future investments. So it's actually quite interesting for us to get that that access. It's because of the terms of service of the Link Online service, we don't necessarily have a good way to reach out to Link Online customers unless we have them in a program. And there's different programs. There's programs represented by my friend Ali here in terms of early adoption programs, which are great and well-tuned for that, or the Excel Talent program. But if they're not in a program, we don't really have a way to go ask them questions about, because of the privacy commitments that Microsoft has, about what you would like to see improved in the service. So by being in such a program, we actually can engage in that conversation in a meaningful manner and ask you, you know, what's your feedback about what's missing, what we could do better. The other one, as we mentioned earlier, that's really, really important is planning for capacity. Conceptually, you know, we do always endeavor to have resources available and to make sure that if somebody was to provision overnight, you know, swipe a credit card and provision a million users, we could land that properly, but it's practically difficult. And it's technically feasible for somebody to provision a large customer overnight. It will be very painful for everybody involved themselves first, but it's feasible. And we would recommend not to do that. By working jointly in the Excel Talent program, we can actually help create a plan that actually is meaningful, that's going to give them the appropriate readiness and help us manage the capacity as well.
To add to that, actually, what we have seen is like, now capacity is one part of it, right? Just make sure that when you are coming, we are ready to handle you. But the other key part is like, when we go through there, like for example, like if you go through what are the clients they have, and we see that what are the expectations on online, when you come online, we have set of requirements that your client should be in this version, right? So when you match everything, then it become really critical for us to say that if you want to come to online successfully, then essentially we can come up with like five steps you need to go through to come here. Right? So we identify a lot of issues when we go through such exercise. Yeah.
So in this program, again, over the past year and a half, almost 2 years, we've actually, you know, had quite a bit of success, and it's been very effective to us. So far, knock on wood, you know, all the customers we've had the pleasure to work with through this program have been successful deployments, sometimes in difficult steps, but you know, we've learned. And we endeavor to not repeat those difficulties when that's possible. We have, as you saw earlier, about 45 million seats under management, which is quite significant. One of the interesting benefits we've had is feedback from some of the C customers very early on. Actually, at the Link conference last year in San Diego, we were talking with one of our Excel tenants that's about 120,000 seat deployment. That's, you know, quite substantial multinational corporation deployed on Link Online. And they were struggling with how to manage the media on the network, and we did not have at the time have QoS capabilities. Based on their feedback to a large extent, not entirely, but based on their feedback to a large extent, we were able to introduce a QoS solution based on port mapping that meets their needs, but also meets the needs of all Link Online customers by June, I guess, June-ish, I think, yeah? So that's an example of that type of feedback working. Yes. I'm very lucky that we have the right person in the room to answer that question. Ali, do you want to come to the microphone and tell us a little bit about what you do in that space?
I just logged in to learn, so I'm going to take the question, though. Yes, so absolutely. As part of the Office 365 All Up TAP program, which is a joint partnership between Lincoln Exchange and SharePoint, We do have a process in place now where we can leverage your prod tenant, but designate about 100 of your users as tap users. And it's those users that effectively receive more fresh bits on a more frequent basis versus the rest of the population that gets it post-GA. And if you're interested, just get in touch with your account team at Microsoft, because we're actually going through that nomination right now for the next wave of the release.
Thank you, Ali. Ali runs our early adoption and feedback programs. Is that the right term? So, key success criteria. We're talking about large-scale deployment, 100,000 users, sometimes more. High visibility projects, sometimes one of the first or the first big cloud project for the enterprise. Sometimes a challenge for the established processes, teams doing cloud for the first time and trying to find out how to do it. And here are some of the things that we've evolved as a team with those customers to help guide them and reduce their risk as they go through, through those deployments. There's one that's not mentioned here. I want to talk about it very briefly. It's the change in the nature of what the IT team does. And some customers do this very naturally, and others struggle a bit more. The IT team was in charge of both the what and the how to a large extent prior when the activity was on-prem. Now the IT team will be much more focused on the what and the metrics and the verification that we deliver properly and the explanation of their requirements, those type of things. They also have some how when it comes to their readiness, but the how of how it's delivered in data center is something that is no longer really in their purview. Some customers are very comfortable with that and actually are really, really good at telling us what they want us to do and telling us when we don't do it well. Others have a hard time and, want to re-keep in the how there. That cultural change is something that people need to internalize and accept. That's part of going to the cloud, and some people have more difficulties. It's important to be able to go there. Now, as far as the other success criteria are concerned, when you go online, as I mentioned earlier, you could literally flip the switch. My 100,000 users are enabled tomorrow morning. All at once, all of a sudden. Not a good idea. Not necessarily because Microsoft couldn't deliver. Even if you were to do this, our SLAs are such that we would still be tied by them. We might think that's not very smart, but we would still stand by our SLAs. But it's mostly because your network readiness, your people readiness, your processes readiness would not have been tested, would not have been probably stretched progressively in such a manner that ensures being successful eventually. So it's not just about us not being ready. We hope we're ready. But it's really about customers' processes not being ready. And we've observed that when customers have tried to do Big Bang, they were the ones struggling even more than we were. So our recommendation is to have the same type of stepwise approach that you would have if you were on-prem. The only difference is you don't have to take care of the servers, but you still need to take care of your users, of your network, of your devices, of a variety of things, of your help desk, of a variety of things like this that are still required in that process. Because your users are still going to call your help desk. And your help desk better be trained and not spike with, 100,000 users calling on the morning because something's wrong. That type of thing is part of what the plan needs to encompass. The way to do this, the best way, and Ramesh will take us a little bit through that in a second, is to use Link Hybrid if you already are a Link customer. If you're not a Link customer, you can start with a small pilot online, that's fine. But if you're already a Link on-premise customer, to use Link Hybrid to split your domain, to put a few users online, to start with that, to grow progressively from that, and to take it stepwise. And to look at this as not just a quick migration, but possibly as a long-term coexistence strategy. You might actually have good reasons why you want to remain like this for a long time. I will talk a little bit more about network in a second, but Link Online is no different in the sense that from Link On-Prem, in the sense that it does need media resources, sorry, network resources to carry the media in the right way. And the things that we have talked about for the past 5, 7, 10 years around network assessment, capacity planning, those type of things, remain true. And we'll look at them in a second. From a usage and adoption point of view, users are users. They will still need devices. They will still need to be informed about what's going on. They will still need some training. It's not because you're taking this from an online service point of view that you have any less work or any less interest in making sure that they're trained and prepared properly, that they're equipped with devices properly, and that they're measured in their activity properly. So the same type of things remains true. That's an interesting question. I've been in touch in the Excel Tenant program with both categories. And my sense is customers who have Link tend to fare a little bit better because they already are familiar with some of those challenges in most cases. And their users are already typically familiar with it in most cases. So all of that learning has already occurred. The ones that come to the cloud first, it's not because the cloud, you know, would in any less manner be able to deliver. It's because they have a tendency of doing that big bang that, you know, we're saying could be a little bit worrisome.
So just to add to that, like, it's if somebody coming to online first, it is almost equivalent to you deploying Link and on-prem first, right? So typically, if you deploy Link and on-prem, there is a lot of effort goes into educating users, how do you roll out clients, and a lot of stuff you do, right? So same level of thing you need to do for online. If you already have everything in on-prem, you are moving slowly, then it's a lot more easier. But in that case, the catch is that, like, if you move too fast, where we have seen somebody try to do really fast, they are hit into that problem. Yeah, and in fact, it's so easy to move also, right? All you need to do is run a command line, and you think that they're off my network here, but.
Yeah. Then sometimes customers are strongly motivated to make those changes rapidly for financial reasons in particular. It's really a question of metrics and what their motivations and goals are. So defining those goals, and to the extent possible, defining those goals in partnership with Microsoft, with their account team. We also, you know, for Excel Tenant, more than happy to help support that process. We think that's probably the most critical element.
And one more thing is that if you already have a link, when you move, sometimes it's important to understand what certain specific user is using. For example, like if you have executives who is using certain feature, which is not supported in online, if you move them, then next day you're going to get a call and say, hey, what happened? It's not working. So those things need to be planned.
And kind of the second part of that is, do you see the first stat of Link being Link Online, and they have greater goals to do PBX replacement, and so they kind of migrate the opposite direction?
To answer your first question, like based on data, what we are seeing, the whole hybrid came a little late to online, but based on the current data, almost 25 to 30% of Excel tenants are in hybrid mode. What is interesting is that pretty much, like at least even more than 50% of new Excel tenants are coming through hybrid mode because they learn about this more. They know the advantage of it. So I would say, like, if you're a bigger tenant and if you have Link, 100% you should come through hybrid. That's our recommendation.
Yeah, and we see a lot of customers doing hybrid on a consistent, ongoing basis for specific reasons I'm actually going to go into in a short while as well. That's one, but multinational aspects in particular. Yeah. And to your other question in terms of are they coming back to voice, we see that for some customers. I believe that this is kind of a temporary type of thing. I've probably seen a couple of those, but it's not a huge amount of them. typically they press us to make sure that we deliver voice in the cloud as quickly as we can, but very few of them say, I'm moving away from online, go back to on-prem. At least not from a large deployment point of view. Small tenants to get a flavor from the end user experience point of view, yes, but not large deployment online and go on-prem.
So what we have seen is at least two cases I've seen is that those are like new greenfield customers. They don't know anything about Link before. So they want to say, hey, I want to learn about Link. They come to online, they like it, and they want more. They say, hey, I like this one. Now I want to say, I have some set of customers, users who want Wise. Right? So I'm going to pick only those customers and deploy on-prem, move them to on-prem. With the goal that once online has the feature they want, they will be back.
Yeah, but that's a rare step of situation. We need to press on a little bit. I'm going to hold on questions for a few seconds. I'll go relatively quickly on some of those slides. They're more here for further reference afterwards. They're also here to point to other sessions that I would encourage you to go listen to. The Uber point I want to make on usage and adoption planning is, I'll repeat what I said earlier, it's as important for Link Online as it is for Link On-Prem. It's no different. Users are users. They need the same type of management. And a program and a plan is the same thing. You still need somebody to define clear objectives, to measure it. You still need executive leadership or engagement to sponsor it in most cases. The same type of thing. So if you're not familiar with the RASC, Rollout and Adoption Success Kit, that was released, I think, about 6 to 9 months ago, I would strongly recommend that you get a look at it. Regardless of whether you intend to deploy on-prem or online, it's a very useful framework to apply to get your plan in place and to measure it. With respect to measurement, my colleague and friend Mark Sanders at 4:30 will actually talk about ROI-oriented strategy for adoption measurement, which, if you think of it, should be the only way to measure success. What's the ROI? Did I actually meet my goals from a financial return point of view in making this project? It also applies to Link Online Excel tenants. Same type of thing. You're making an investment. Is it worth it? Well, you can, and our reporting is not yet entirely complete. We're continuing to enhance it, but we have enough reporting today that you can use that reporting to build an ROI view of your Link Online deployment and measure effectively what you're doing and validate that you made the right investment and that your users are getting the value you want or you're paying for.
Okay, so Link Hybrid. So we have been talking about Link Hybrid a bit. As I was mentioning, there is a session at 3:15 to go deep into it. I'll talk about Link Hybrid from the Excel tenant point of view. If you think about Excel tenant, I see there are three scenarios that requires you to consider hybrid. Number one is if you have an on-prem Link deployment, we encourage you to use hybrid and move users to online slowly. And there are one more scenario where we have seen a customer come to us and saying that I want to come to online, but I have small set of users who needs to be in on-prem for compliance reasons. And for those guys, even though they are an on-prem, they should be able to interop with all their remaining users in their company. So hybrid is another option for them. And the third set is the voice. If you have some users who need voice, then particularly enterprise voice, then they can be in on-prem. We can keep them rest of the users in online. And also, if you look at hybrid, it's not only the Link, right? Link on-prem, Link online. At the same time, how Link works with respect to Exchange on-prem, Exchange online. So it's more than just pure Link perspective. So we do support a combination of Link and Exchange being in on-prem and online as well. And from the customer.
I guess I was too close. Sorry about that.
So from the value proposition point of view, the key thing is that interop, right? So even though they are in two different islands from the deployment and where they're homed point of view, they can interact with each other without any issues. And also, you should be able to do some pilots, move user between on-prem and online, and see what happens, right? We can do both directions. We can go from on-prem to online, online to on-prem, now smoothly, actually. Don't read too much into it, but I just put it out there. You can look at it in offline. What we are trying to say is, like, initially, you can start with, like, everything in on-prem, and our hope is that eventually you will come to a place where you have, like, link, exchange, everything in online. And meanwhile, there are multiple ways your customer environment can be there, and we do support all those combinations. And what are the features that's supported in different combination varies, but we do support all those various permutation we are seeing here.
Let's talk very quickly about network. There are several things to keep in mind as you plan your Excel tenant deployment. One of them is that many Excel tenants are MNCs, multinational corporations, with presence across multiple continents. That's a challenge. Want to be transparent on where we are today. We are hosting those customers in one geographic area of the world. So might be Americas, might be Asia Pacific, might be Europe, but only one. And so that requires concerted discussion and planning. In some cases, customers might use hybrid mode and have small on-prem deployment in other geographies for the interim. In other cases, we have large MNCs globally hosted in that manner and with very good results. But it's a complexity to take into factor when you plan your deployment. Connectivity. Nothing particularly complex here, but there are ports to open. You might have a proxy to configure, firewall to configure. That's all documented. There's also tools to verify your connectivity. So one of the things we've seen with large customers is that they have firewalls in all sorts of bizarre places. They always forget a few. If you do a big bang, you're going to have your help desk with all lines busy red on the Monday morning after you do your big bang. Go slow, test it, verify. Your users will let you know, but quietly if you have forgotten the firewall. If you've too many users telling you at once, it's not fun. Capacity planning, I mentioned that earlier. I'm not going to belabor the point. We have tools. They're the same as on-prem because it's essentially the same process. And we encourage you to use the same process. You're going to use network resources. You must make sure that you have network assets. I didn't say anything about future multiple geographic regions. I said that we were keenly aware of that fact. But thank you. TOS. So we introduced about 9 months ago, I guess, a new capability to map the various media types on non-overlapping media ranges. So there's 20 ports, I think 50,000 to 50,019 for voice, and then 20 to 39 for video, and so on and so on. It's documented. We've done that across the entire service for all data centers, so it doesn't matter where you're hosted. Every Link Online customer has the same. It's a service level thing. And it enables you to know that, well, that media is coming from this client on that port range, so it must be audio. My network's going to tag it this way, treat it that way. This is not true for incoming media, because incoming media comes from the edge, and the edge has a wider range of ports. So if you want to tag that as well, you need to do that on the send to port, not the send from port, but it's still an opportunity. It's documented, and I encourage you to get a look at this. QoS is a very, very significant success factor, as we've always experienced, for online as well as for on-prem, for the eventual success of deployment, because that's critical to the quality of experience on your network. We're going to talk a little bit about how you manage users and policies. You want? I'll take us through that. So I showed you the Link Online Admin Center earlier. Guess what? We're not going to manage 100,000 users through that. We're clicking boxes and using this on a on a graphical interface. So we use Remote PowerShell. There's three different places where you can use Remote PowerShell to manage your deployment. There are things that are managed against Azure Active Directory. There's different instances of Remote PowerShell to use for that. There is Exchange Online, and that's where you're going to manage, guess what, the Link Online reporting. Why it was built on that, it's a little bit nebulous, but one of the impact is if you want Link Online reporting, you must have at least one Exchange Online user account enabled, otherwise you don't have access to that. And then there is Remote PowerShell for Link Online that enables you to manage users, to manage the client policies, the conferencing policies, federation, all those kind of things. I'll tell you a little bit more in a second about how we do that. Want to point you to a session that's occurring just at the same time on Remote PowerShell for Link Online. So if you want to listen to that afterwards, I think it would be quite interesting. There is one key concept to be aware of with respect to Remote PowerShell or with respect to policies for Link Online. We use something called policy instances, which is different from what you have access to with an on-premise deployment. On-premise, you can essentially tweak each and every policies or each and every attribute of the policies one by one. For Link Online, we actually expose pre-arranged policy instances, which are sets of those attributes. So the matrix we expose is a subset of what you could potentially do on-premise. We're aware that this is complicated because it restricts some of the possibilities. To date, it's been possible to fulfill the needs of our customers to a very large extent. In some cases, customers have told us, well, it's a little bit complicated. We are missing this policy instance that really would be necessary, and we have on rare situations, but you know, we've done it. We've increased policy instances. We don't like to do that too much because it increases some complexity for the service, so we don't do this too frequently or too easily, but if there is a real need from a customer, we've considered that and we've done it in the past. So that concept of policy instance, be familiar with it, because typically every Link Online customer that starts to do this is going to open up a case with support saying, oh, this doesn't work, Remote PowerShell doesn't work, I cannot apply policies, the attributes don't take. It's because you need to set policy instances, not individual attributes. And again, you might find that you don't exactly find the one you want, and if that's the case, hopefully you can find one that's close enough. If not, let's discuss. Tenant reporting? Yeah, sorry, you wanted to comment on that.
Just add one more point, actually. We talked about Remote PowerShell so far, right? So if a customer is familiar with Remote Power Command Line in on-prem, the key difference is that in on-prem, we have around 700 command lines. But in online, we expose less than like 50 command lines to Remote PowerShell. So not all of the features you see in on-prem is available in online. So that's something you need to be aware of.
So, any question on this? I know it's probably artificial right now until you get your hands on a keyboard, try Remote PowerShell, and want to allocate a very specific policy. It's a bit tricky. Now, allocating policies is very, very critical. Allocating the right policy is very, very critical to the success of deployment. For example, most large customers will start with very conservative policies when it comes to video, for example. Or to whom to grant audio or those type of capabilities. They may also, and we'll show you in a second, the case of a financial services institution that's on Link Online that has deployed it and that uses it to communicate with their customers. Finding the right sets of policies to expose external meanings and external remote anonymous participants and what they can do or not, that was an interesting exercise that we went through with them. That type of activity required a lot of planning. There's also planning when it comes to having processes set to run and execute remote portion on a regular basis when you when you have new hires, allocating licenses and allocating the appropriate policies at the same time. That type of thing we've done. We've done many times with customers. Our services and teams know how to do it, can guide you in that regard. But it's important to plan for it. Talking briefly about tenant reporting. So you saw it earlier on my Link Online control panel, but obviously we do expose the same type of capability through remote PowerShell, even though that's Exchange remote PowerShell, but it's remote PowerShell. And you have the ability to automate those reports. We have customers using that, again, as I mentioned earlier, to do ROI-based validation of their investment. Strongly recommend to look into that. And that's what it looks like. I'm not going to show it to you again since you saw the demo earlier. With this, and we have a little bit less than 20 minutes, we're going to switch gears and talk about specific customers and give you a little bit more entertaining view of the world here. We start with this one, which most of the customers you'll see we've anonymized, but this one we have not. We've been able to use the name. This is the largest customer, as far as I know, on Office 365. 8.5 million users. That's big. Everybody who's a student or a teacher in Egypt, and there's a lot of them, has an account on Exchange Online and on Link Online. And we were able to provision this entire thing in 3 months. 8.5 million users. It was not that simple. There were a few, you know, scrambles, but, you know, 8.5 million users. Went through detailed capacity planning work and discussions on how to structure the tenants. It's actually a quite interesting set for the tenants. What they've done is they created tenants per school year. And so when you come in as K, you get in a new entry, but then your tenant gets migrated from, you know, 1 to 2 to 3 and so on, all the way till you're in 12th grade. And then that tenant is going to be cleaned and reused for the new entrants. So it's kind of cycling. And they have one for boys and one for girls for each school year. And each of those tenants is approximately 400,000 or 500,000 users. So pretty big deployment at large. And it's humming along. We have only good things to hear and to say about it. Now, in a completely different type of customer, going from a very large educational customer to actually a not very, very large, but still very sizable financial services institution in the Benelux. This is a retail bank, retail and commercial bank, with branches all across Benelux. They've completely switched all of their collaboration communication platforms, apart from voice, since we don't have PSTN yet, but pressing us strongly to get that done, to Link Online. They didn't have Link On-Prem, so this is a new deployment. They started with Link Online, to your question, and are moving now to Exchange Online, or just moved to Exchange Online. They started with Link Online. This project was planned on done, I think, over three to four months. So relatively quick deployment. Very, very successful. They're very happy with it. They've actually done a number of press releases on it. Quite happy with that. The most complicated part of it was those policy instances aspects, finding the right policy instances to make sure that we could comply with their regulatory environment around, you know, what they expose to external participants in meetings and what type of controls they would give or not give in the meetings and so on. That was probably the trickiest part. They've been really good at giving us feedback through the Excel tenant program, so quite exciting customer. This is when they turn it up. So they had a very small thing, as you can. Go ahead.
If you could shed a little more light on what those policy requirements were, and I'm not asking you to go into gory detail, but just a couple of key bullet points that might explain what those were.
Certainly. Typically, in regulated environment, the question is protection of data, protection of the individual data, and who might have even the remote possibility of having control over the session that could then give them control over the data. And so part of the aspects here was to ensure that external anonymous participants in meetings, while being able to participate, would not have control. That's one of the key elements we looked at that we were able to satisfy with the policy instances. There were a couple of similar things.
So it was mostly external, internal, okay.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, they're using the compliance aspects as well, the archiving aspects that we have and so on. But that one, the external and internal, was the primary one. So this is what happened when they launched. So clearly they had, you know, a little pilot going. And then they launched for about 6,000 users all at once, a little bit less than, no, I think 3,000 users, something like this. So these are the sessions. And on first day, sessions took off like crazy. That's because they'd done a lot of work early on in terms of communication. There was a significant communication plan, training. People were enabled. They had their devices. They had everything ready. So on literally 8 a.m., on the Monday morning, or whatever it was, I think Monday morning, that they were given that solution, took off like wildfire, and they've not looked back. Actually, we have some more recent data. You want to take us through that?
Sure, yeah. So I think the key takeaway here is that even if you are a FinServ customer, right, the solution that we have in online is really good, that like there are huge usage for this customer. If you look at the percentage of usage, literally more than 60% of their users are using our Link Online service daily. Right? That's a huge number, considering that they haven't rolled out the client to everybody. So there's a lot of usage that we see. And
let me comment on that part. Sure. People in branches are licensed, but they are not yet part of the pool that uses it, or part of the users who have the capability to use it. So when we say 60%, it's actually closer to 90-something percent of the people who are actually enabled.
Yeah, another thing is like we have the ability to keep track of what is the usage. So typically if you're Excel tenants, then you know, we do have a way to keep track of, hey, how are they using it? Is there any dip in usage? We do keep track of it. So as we can see, is like for this tenant, like the usage is kind of almost the same or increasing level, except the December timeframe, which is expected. Yeah.
Another large customer happens to be a US-based telco. And this is another example where they actually started with Link Online, didn't have Link at all, started with Link Online, didn't have Exchange, didn't do Exchange Online. So, relatively significant first commitment, first time they did online services on that scale. We learned quite a bit jointly. And the ramp-up was done quite well. It took about 3 months to ramp up to about 60,000 users, a little bit more than 3 months. Quite a few mobile users as well. Very successful deployment was within 3 months, they were reaching well in excess of 50% daily active users, and beyond that. That customer has been very, very active in giving us feedback on reporting, archiving, the number of aspects there that we've mostly integrated. So another type of customer, but large telco was great success with Link Online. And this is a third type of customer, a retail customer in the US. Want to?
Sure, yeah. So in this case, like if you look at it, the number of daily signed-in users, it's around like 20% of the total users there. The reason is, again, there are a lot of users who are retail users, like sales type of people. They haven't used it. But for the users who really can use their service, they have been actively using it for last 6 months or so.
So the white collars, if you will, are extremely actively using it. And they have a plan to enable those retail users in store to use Link on actually mobile terminals that are mostly iOS terminals. That should be coming over the next 6 months or so. With this, I think we are kind of done with the slide portion, and I still have the goodies here waiting for you, and we're happy to take further questions. let me summarize what we took you through. I think we established with some data that Link Online is a very large service, large-scale service, works very well with large tenants, supports today a very significant number of users on Excel tenants. 45 million is what we showed you with fast growth. We gave you examples of customers in the EDU space with the Ministry of Egypt, Ministry of Education in Egypt at 8.5 million users, as well as financial services institutions that have completely switched to Link Online and that are very successful with that high level of usage.
No, not really. I mean, setting ADFS is on its own, it has a challenge, right? So, but once you set it up, there is no difference between like two users or million users. It should be fine.
The main thing we might mention is initial sync might take time. So there is there's a throttling of that, or there is a specific pace. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, same thing can do necessarily a huge big bang and crash everything and there's a pace. It's relatively rapid, but if you wanted to sync a massive, massive tenant, it will take a little bit of time. Oh, by the way, you get one of those goodies there. Go ahead.
Sure. With Link Online, though, if two users are in the same building and IMing each other or conferencing, let's say it's a big company and they're one end to the other,
Yeah, I mean, it depends, right? If it's just purely two users, still there's some initial signaling, handshaking will happen through online. After that, it could be peer-to-peer, right? But anything related to conference will always go through.
Yeah. Instant messaging will always go through the server. Audio in a peer-to-peer situation will always be, generally speaking, be, unless there's something kind of blocking it otherwise, peer-to-peer, so will typically remain on your network, audio and video. But if you do a conference, it will always go to the conferencing center. And you also get one of those beautiful busy lights from whatever they're called, busy light from Quando. So you'll be able to show to everybody that you are available.
Yeah, questions? Yeah.
Licensed, those are licensed users, those are enabled users, those are users on tenants, those are users who have all the capabilities and so on.
They were, you know, the
I actually don't have statistics on that. EDU typically takes a little bit more time because it's really a programmatic type of thing for them, and it depends on their use cases. And as mentioned earlier, typically EDU's usage rate is always a little bit lower than EPG, than enterprise. But they're using it, yeah. Yes, go ahead.
Can you talk a little bit more about, I think I heard you say there's some assistance you give to some of these customers with the provisioning activities that go on periodically, so if I'm going to ramp up 1,000 users a week or something. I know that in projects that work on, it's challenging to, even with good scripting, to get that all done, get that accuracy. So can you talk about how you help with that?
Yes, so The question pertains to assistance that we would be giving in the domain of provisioning and those type of things. We are not scaled to be hands on a keyboard type of situation, obviously, and our services teams would be where that specific activity resides, and they do that very, very well. But in some cases, there is elements of, okay, I have their hands on the keyboard, but I can do it in many different ways. Which way would be optimal in that circumstance? And that's typically where we come in. You know, let's say we're looking at a specific data center. We're looking at, well, where are we in the deployment of this specific release? Should we try and take advantage of having done that rollout first and wait for one more week? Do we want to, and that type of discussion can occur. Do we have the opportunity to actually land the customer better if we do it in this manner versus that manner? That type of discussion will typically occur between the services people on us. Also, we have conversation with the customer that's much more around, well, how is your readiness? You know, are you ready on the network side, and are you ready on the user training side? If you go at that pace, that's very fine. It's relatively easy to flip switches on remote PowerShell, but what about what happens beyond that? Is your help desk ready? That's the type of thing where we typically would come in. Yes, sir?
By the archive content exchange, do you mean putting a policy on the conversation? That's pretty cool.
No, there are two things, right? One is storing the converse history in the exchange converse history folder. That is really end user driven. End user can dictate whether they want to store something on converse history. The other part is the compliance archive. The compliant archiving is driven by your exchange in hold policy setting. In exchange, there is a way flag to say, I want to put this user on hold.
One of those out?
As long as you put that user on hold, you'll be able to archive your link setting as well. You're supposed to give that to him.
Well, he asked the question first, so now I, to him? He's a Microsoft guy, I won't give it to him.
Now I get it. Did that answer the questions? So basically, what I'm saying is there are two parts to it, right? One is the conversation history storage. That is end-user driven. End-user can see it. The compliant storage is driven through Exchange. So.
Right, the issue we have is we're a BYOD shop, so mm-hmm. how do you prevent an end-user from going and unchecking the box to save their conversation?
Okay, so what you're talking about is a little bit different from the archiving portion. You're talking about essentially securing the mobile device data, the data at rest, and you don't want them to have the conversation history on their mobile device. Is that right? Or
we have a legal compliance to archive the messages. Mm-hmm. So right now I can control that as an administrator on the Link server on their account.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what they can or can't do on the machine. I have 100% control.
But no, it's a bit different. Let me jump in this. If you select archiving, it's got nothing to do with what they can check or uncheck. You have, regardless of whether it's on Link Online or what, because there's two different things that possibly you're mixing up. One is whether I choose individually that my IMs will go into my conversation history folder on my email, which is just my choice, has nothing to do. You might also turn that off for me, but that's just me. But then you have something in the back office that archives everything that I am, regardless of whether it comes from my mobile device or my PC or whatever. And that, I have no visibility into that. Possibly I might not even know it.
Yeah, you should not be knowing.
But
when
Link Online, I don't have the capability.
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. You do. You do. And it's controlled through a policy that I showed you on the remote PowerShell slide that happens to be in the Exchange PowerShell one.
Okay. Yeah. So. You don't have a way to say that I don't want email archiving, but I want link archiving. You can't do that. But in Exchange, you can say that I want to archive for this user. The moment you say that, Exchange will archive emails, and Link will archive link communication to Exchange.
Yes. Well, there's no such thing as QoS on the internet. So, you know, since typically our customers are connected through the internet, when they are over the internet, they won't be able to act on that. And there's no prioritization for that, obviously. But when they are on the control part of the network, and most of it is actually, what mostly our customers are impacted with is what happens on their WAN. You know, I'm somewhere in Australia and I'm talking to Ramesh who's somewhere in Singapore, and we're going across the one between Australia and Singapore. That is a fairly constraining thing, and it might be a good idea if that media was prioritized. We have completely the ability to do that. If my media now exits and kind of traverses the internet, typically, surprisingly, that's not where even if we could do QoS, that's not where it's the most important, because there's enough bandwidth there.
Since QoS
No, it's QoS typically from people to from client to client, or anything that happens on your network. So as a customer, if you're on, you know, you have a large global network with a wide area network, you want QoS on that, and that's what happens today. That's the same as Link on premise, by the way. So once you're on the public internet, there is no QoS. That said, our experience is that that's not typically where the issue that QoS would benefit you. You know, that's not.
I was just curious if there was some kind
of. We've not invented QoS on the internet yet. So the port ranges are defined in service. So that's exactly what happens. So if you were to, let's say that at some point in the future we would connect between your premises and our data center on a managed link versus the internet, hypothetically, then you would get the full benefit of prioritization on that as well. There is no QoS over the internet, so you know we can't do that. But this is not a problem today. In the experience we have of our customers' experience, if they have a decent internet connection, you know, we're talking about typically cross connects in one of AT&T's massive buildings, you know, in 50 Hudson or whatever that is, and that's not where the problems exist. No, it's on the WAN. It's on WAN. Most customers don't have a WAN today that's sized and structured for those type of things. So that's where they need to get their readiness up. We're a little bit over time. I apologize for that. Want to thank you for your time and your questions. We'll stick around a little bit if you have further questions. But want to thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.